Hey there, it's me, Marisa. This is the post about healing dandelion green stew. First, my inspiration. You know, one of the first most interesting soups I ever made was a braised dandelion greens recipe by Top Chef master Chris Cosentino. It was like a bitter, spicy, full of dimension, something like I haven't made before. It's not for everyone, but that's okay. This recipe is for anyone who appreciates bitter greens like rapini, known as broccoli Robbie, frisée, escarole, and of course dandelion greens. The way Chris paired the greens with ancho chilies, lemon and olive oil, and true Parmigiano Reggiano just spoke to me. This is totally my language. I've made it time and time again, swaying a bit from the recipe to make it compliant with my food and lifestyle choices. Like, for instance, he suggests a crusty piece of bread on the bottom of your bowl so it will soak up all the dandelion broth. And I know, that sounds heavenly. But I don't really eat bread anymore. I eat it on a special occasion if it's gluten-free or, you know, if I'm in the mood for a burger with a real bun. But otherwise, I avoid bread. So I started adding potatoes to the soup instead. Bitter greens and potatoes are a popular combo with Italians, so that one was a no-brainer. I also changed the chicken broth base to a bone broth base, and the combination of bone broth with dandelion greens is what makes this recipe especially healing. Here are my longevity tips. Bone broth. Okay, if you're a vegetarian, don't worry. This soup can be made with water or a vegetable stock, but it'll still turn out great. Let's talk about bone broth for everyone else out there. That's possibly the main reason I called this recipe healing. It's the bone broth that makes it especially healing. The name bone broth either gets you excited or it weirds you out. It's an ancient broth-making technique that yields some of the most nutrient-rich, healing food on earth. It's been in the human diet for possibly 25,000 years. It still remains a staple in the diets of traditional cultures today, but in fast-paced westernized cultures like America, we've cut corners and dropped this slow cooking technique and the types of bones we use. True bone broth is made with all sorts of marrow bones and connective joints, including chicken or pig's feet for their high amount of glucosamine chondroitin, collagen, and trace minerals. A sign that your bone broth is really on point is if it gels, like Jell-O. This comes from the collagen. Yeah, it sounds gross, but it only sounds gross to us because we're so far removed from traditional foods and cooking methods these days. We need to get back to that for the good of our health, our culture, and spirit. So, what are the potential benefits of eating bone broth? The benefits are impressive. Bone broth can improve overall digestion, mood, cognitive function, joint integrity, inflammation, skin, hair, and nails. You're wondering, how is bone broth prepared? Well, the traditional way is to add a variety of bones and joints to water and slowly bring it to a boil. The broth will be cooked all day, and sometimes even for several days. More modern techniques use vinegar to help draw the minerals from the bones, and even a pressure cooker to bring the cooking time down to just an hour. That's what I do. Now you're wondering if you could just buy bone broth instead of making it. I see bone broth sold in stores now and available online. Some brands I recommend are Epic and Kettle and Fire. You'll see links to that in this post. This is just the beginning of the bone broth comeback. We'll see more brands as time goes. So if you're ready to make your own bone broth and save big money because you're making your own, then you'll find my Facebook post helpful. I answered most of your how-to questions there, so just click the link in the blog post. And of course, if you want to use regular broth in this recipe, it won't hurt. It just won't taste nearly as good or pack all this nutrition. Next longevity tip is about Parmigiano Reggiano. That super long Italian name is worth remembering. Most Americans think of it as Parmesan, but really that's not the same food. The Italian name on your cheese label, Parmigiano Reggiano, implies that the cheese was made according to strict practices. It must be from 100% grass-fed cows in the Parma or Reggio regions of Italy. The milk must be less than 24 hours fresh, unpasteurized, and raw, and using no other ingredients to make the cheese besides salt and calf rennet, which are enzymes. So why does all of this matter to me? If you buy imitation cheese labeled Parmesan because it's cheaper, you'll be getting pasteurized cheese from who knows where, cows that were not eating their native diet, and the cheese will likely contain a lot of additives. The true cheese, Parmigiano Reggiano, is made from grass-fed cows and unpasteurized milk. This is known as a raw milk cheese. The benefits here are tremendous, turning the cheese into a health food. Even for people with mild dairy intolerances, this hard, raw milk cheese is healthful to consume because the lactose and casein content in Parmigiano Reggiano is almost non-existent, and because the raw milk enzymes help break down the food in a way that makes it easier for us to digest. This cheese brings the soup to a whole new level. But honestly, you can make the soup without cheese if you're dairy-free or vegan. You can also substitute with Pecorino Romano or Grana Padano, the latter being a raw hard milk cheese that's more affordable than Parmigiano Reggiano. Both of these are sold at any grocery store with a gourmet cheese section. And the last longevity tip is about dandelion greens. This wild green comes from the pesky dandelion flowers that most Americans spray pesticides on relentlessly. But there's a massive group of gardeners, homesteaders, and healers that treasure this green because of its medicinal properties. Actually, the whole plant, the root, flower, leaves, this is what makes it so impressive. If you think about it, wild greens and weeds are so tenacious. They come back time and time again and withstand the harshest conditions. This is a sign that the plant is full of powerful compounds that benefit us. Dandelion greens are known to be bitter, especially the ones you buy at the grocery store. But if you harvest them from your own pesticide-free yard, if you're lucky to have one, while they're young and small, they can be so mild and delicate and perfect for salads even. The older, bitter greens, like the ones in the supermarket, are best in soups, and that's what we're doing today. This plant provides us with incredible vitamin levels like bone-building vitamin K and vitamin A. The greens are also containing a wide variety of minerals and plant compounds which help regulate our heart rate, our blood pressure, digestion, and liver function. This is a great detox green and one for someone who is sick. That's another reason this is called healing dandelion green stew. All right, it's time to cook. This recipe calls for ancho chilies, which are dried poblano peppers sold for just a few bucks at a Mexican grocer, or you can find them at any grocery store with a big international aisle. They're dried and sold in a plastic bag. You can even buy them online. There's a link in this blog post. These dried chilies are used in mole sauces, salsas, enchilada sauce, and can even be rehydrated by just adding hot water, and you can slice them up and add these peppers to any dish. I've made this soup several times with both ancho chilies and guajillo chilies, but ancho takes the win. The skins are much more tender and enjoyable to eat in this soup, so look for small packages like the one you see pictured in this blog post, and you're ready to cook. Head on over to see the full recipe. It should only take you 30 to 40 minutes to complete this soup. Bye!